Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 726, and we are recording on June 3rd. That's a Monday in the year 2024. Joining me as usual in this conversation about technology and ministry is Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you. We've officially crossed the threshold into summer. Has arrived on Wells Tech. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any big plans this summer?
Nothing big this summer. We're saving our vacation time for October. Going to go see the beautiful change of seasons in the Gatlinburg, Tennessee area. So looking forward to that.
This summer, we'll
stay close to home. But I'm hearing the birds tweeting. It's a beautiful day. It's great to be in June. Kind of surprising already.
Nice to be in June. Yeah. Just celebrated a wedding anniversary. So that always ushers in June for us. So 38 years with my beautiful bride.
That's wonderful.
So summer has struck, and that means that we kind of figure out what we're doing for the summer months here on Wells Tech. And normally it's an abbreviated, lighter show, and that's what we decided to do this year too. But we've decided that we need company along the journey here. So we've entitled it Summer Tech Talks, and what we're doing is trying to find interesting people, as we always do, to talk technology and ministry. And today is no exception. So each time we meet, we'll try and find somebody else across the synod or, you know, within our sphere of influence, so to speak, and talk about different topics. And one position that we talk to on a fairly regular basis is the head or one of the product managers at Concordia Technology Solutions. And we've been doing this for a while. A lot of you will remember Peter Frank, friend of the show, and even before that, his predecessor. But there's a new person there, Rob Davidson. Actually, he's been there a couple of years now. And you may not know what Concordia Technology Solutions is, but it's an arm of Concordia Publishing House, and we collaborate with them on a number of different products. One of them, Service Builder, but another one is Church 360, which is a member management software solution where we've had this relationship for many years now, where Wells churches get a discount. And we thought we would have Rob on the show to talk a little bit about where Church 360 is, a little bit of its history, some things coming up, just kind of get an update on where that package is and program is and what's up with CTS in general. So, Sally, why don't we take a listen to that pre-recorded interview we had, I think it was last week, with Rob. Mm-hmm. Happy to have joining us today the manager of CTS Sales and Marketing, Rob Davidson. Hey, Rob, how are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, Martin?
Good. Appreciate you joining us. We've had all of your predecessors on, I think, at some point or another. So this is kind of a tradition on Wells Tech. So we're really happy that you were able to take some time and talk about Concordia Technology Solutions and some of the things that we've partnered with over the years and how things are going. So maybe before we get into some of the products and services that we're most interested in, tell us a little bit about yourself, your role, and maybe a quick overview of what CTS is.
Yeah, so I joined up with CTS, let's say it's going on a little bit over 2 years now.
Okay.
And CTS is the technology arm of Concordia Publishing House. And so Concordia, through CTS, has been developing software solutions for the church since 1984. Our first big release was 1994, was Shepherd Staff. That's something that even today, thousands of churches still subscribe to. In 2012, we made the transition to kind of advance our the products that we have to include Church 360, because web-based solutions were becoming more and more, you know, there was a demand for it. You know, people needed to be able to work from home and not be tied to the church office computer. And so that kind of takes us to where we are today. We're continuing to invest and better our software so that it continues to serve the churches we love so much.
Right. And Concordia is obviously the publishing house for Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
That's
are
right.
you so those are your primary customers. You've got your ear to the ground and kind of listening to what their needs are. So at some point in the past, there was probably a voice out there somewhere that's saying, hey, we need church management software. Help us out, right?
Yeah. And I just to clarify, I would just to make sure are the listeners understand, you know, who our customers are. Only about half of our customers are from the LCMS.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of our customer base are, you know, from the Wells Synod.
Mm-hmm.
They're from other smaller Lutheran synods, and even going as far as Baptists, Methodists. We
sure.
got a couple of Catholics that subscribe, but mm-hmm. for the most part, you know, we're really focusing on supporting the large Christian church.
Okay. How, before we jump into some specifics, that migration from Shepherd Staff, which was kind of a server-based or a premise-based solution to Member 360, I would assume that some of the concerns about web-based software are behind us, and you've got a real positive feedback from the solution that you have out there. Just the portability of it, I think the nice freshness of it, right?
Yeah, I come from a different generation of computer users. And so when I see Church 360, I was like, oh, I understand how to use this so intuitively versus Shepherd Staff comes from a generation before, and it's bulky, it's very robust, right? And it serves a lot of churches well. We have finally gotten to the point where customers of Church 360 outnumber the amount of subscriptions we have for Shepherd Staff, but we still have thousands of customers on Shepherd Staff.
Yeah.
And that's because I don't know if churches' concerns about their information online is fully sated, as well as those, there are many churches in rural parts of the U.S. that have real need to have an offline solution. You know, mm-hmm. As much as Fiverr is continuing to reach the more remote places of the U.S., it's, you
yep.
know, often Wi-Fi is unreliable in these small churches, and they need a solution they can depend on. And pretty much at this point, Shepherd Staff is practically the only PC-based solution on the market, and that we're dedicated to continuing to serve the churches that need something like that.
So I'm showing on the screen currently for those watching the Church 360 homepage. We've heard some terms that you guys have been kind of throwing around: members, ledger, there's a Unite component. Maybe just give us a very quick overview about those three main components of Church 360.
Yeah, so Church 360 Members is our kind of de facto church management software. It focuses on your people data. So, you know, depending on what records are important to the church office, it'll help you record, you know, the names, emails, contact information, the key records when it comes to baptisms, marriages, etc. But even going further, it helps you record attendance, offerings. We're one of the few softwares that include the ability to text and email for free with your subscription. And we're one of the very, very few to offer voice messages to come from the software at a use-based credit purchase as well. So, you know, we have those kind of pieces that help within members, churches get more done, because we're definitely in an era where churches are understaffed and their task lists are bigger than ever before. And so that's, we're going to continue to invest in members to make it more and more useful to give church offices their time back and do more in their ministry. Ledger, we're doing a lot of fun work in Ledger right now. We're excited to show everyone what we have in store later this year. But that is like the QuickBooks for churches. Right now, it's really focused on small churches, those where the finances are supported by a volunteer base. So it needs to be useful, whether or not you're a former CFO or if you've never seen a P&L statement before. And so we've created that solution and have continued to invest in it. What we have coming down the line for Ledger is a new suite of tools that I think are going to put it on a much closer feature parity with what's available in Shepherd Staff Finance, as well as those using QuickBooks. So we're really hoping to create something that's even more powerful for the financial side of the church office. And then Church 360 Unite is our web builder. And so, you know, nowadays there are a lot of web builders out on the market, but very few are focused on serving specifically churches. We have a built-in online directory, as well as a lot of communication-focused tools that churches can benefit from in order to create more engagement in their congregation.
Go ahead, Sal.
Well, I was just going to say, I got a smile when you talk about the volunteers. I think that's a theme that Martin and I would agree on from throughout our work with technology and congregations, that often relying on volunteers. And that means you need some really good support, because volunteers change and you're constantly retraining and things like that. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what CTS has set up in terms of support for your products.
Yeah, that's an absolute great point. With all of our software options, we want to make it as easy as possible. You shouldn't have a PhD in computer science in order to be able to use our tools. But our support team is also an amazing asset to our customer base. They are in our office from 7:30 to 5 o'clock Central Time every single day. And, you know, these people, they know the software so much better than I do, forwards and back. And the amount of just holy cow positive reinforcement that we've gotten, because just, you know, churches, you know, technology is often, it is not their bread and butter. It's not what they go to seminary in order to learn. And so they need a partner to be able to get into the nitty gritty with them. And when things get a little frustrating, you know, we have that, be able to take you by the hand and solve the problem, versus, you know, you're on the phone line for 4 hours and you never really get a resolution. And so having a team that's in-house, that they only work with our products, that is an asset that we're so proud to be able to give the churches that work with us.
Yeah, in our experience, super responsive. You call somebody, you're going to talk to a real person. Follow-up is great, and they know the product. And it's not just a, you know, it's broken kind of thing. It's, let me walk you through how to keep, you know, run this report kind of thing, which is exactly what volunteers need. You know, they're lost. They don't know where to begin. And your folks do a great job at hand-holding them through that process.
Great to hear.
One thing that we have talked about, Rob, is an assessment that you guys have put together to help congregations, schools think about some of the gaps or maybe some of the possible improvements that could be made in their, you know, in their church and school offices using maybe some of the products that are out there. Tell us a little bit about that assessment that you offer.
Yeah, so that's coming from a kind of a brainchild of mine. I want us to get away from, you know, just focusing on a product-based solution and really getting to the heart of the workflows and responsibilities that churches everywhere they're dealing with. And you know, more often than not, you know, when you've been doing the same thing for decades, you don't know that there's a better way to do it, a way to give you back some more time, a way to make it easier and less stressful on you. And so that's why we've set aside time every single week for our software consultants to be able to sit down with churches. And it doesn't matter if they're a customer, our consultants will sit down and just work with you. And we got a series, I think it's 106 questions total. Very, very rarely do we go through the whole thing, but we ask kind of very surface level questions to kind of get an understanding of, hey, what parts of the church office are you perfect at? And what parts of the church office would you really benefit of? Just, hey, how, what would be a more efficient way to take offerings? Because my pastor is so busy, none of the volunteers want to do it, and it's falling on him, but he doesn't have the time for it. What's a better way to do that? Right? Getting into these different pieces, whether it's, you know, they have issues with their website, or it's something kind of more deeper. We really want to help churches not be afraid of technology and have an easy road to look for how to just make their lives better.
Excellent. Yeah, we look forward to promoting that amongst our Wells folks too later this year as we make them aware of the great stuff that you guys have. Speaking of great stuff, you are also involved with Service Builder, which was launched in conjunction with our own publishing house a couple of years back. How's that going, and what's coming up with that?
Yeah, so it's been an absolute pleasure to work with NPH on the Service Builder product. It's been wonderful because I've been a lifelong LCMS Lutheran, and so to come and grow and learn more about the Wells Church has been phenomenal, and the people at NPH are just as incredible with their passion for the Lord and their knowledge of so much more about what churches go through than I do often. Mm-hmm. So last year we released a playlist, which is a you know recordings of the pieces within the service Christian worship.
Yep.
Thank you. Yep. And so, you know, that was an absolute success. We had more churches subscribing to that than we ever thought we were going to get total purchases for. And so it seems like, you know, as it's harder and harder to make sure you have an organist every Sunday to have that musical accompaniment to everything you're doing is so important, and it's been really well received. And then I'm excited to say that we're going to have within coming up probably in the next couple of days now, Christian Worship Service Builder will have three more Bible translations added to the product. So right now, as many of you know, Christian Worship Service Builder only has NIV, right? Because that was the same text that's included in the hymnal. So it made sense to start there. But unlike the LCMS, the Wells denomination uses a couple different versions. And so while the hymnal will always be in NIV, we think it was really important to serve these Wells churches when they have different needs. And so I'm really excited that in the next few days, actually, we are going to be releasing, let me see my list here, the Evangelical Heritage Version, the Christian Standard Bible, and the English Standard Version for Christian Worship Service Builder. So I would really encourage all of you listening to keep an ear out because NPH is going to be making that formal announcement and, you know, then kind of giving you advice on seeing where in the software you can make that switch in order to, you know, optimize it for which translation your church prefers.
And the beauty of web-based technologies, it should basically just be available, right? You know, once they log in one day, it's there.
That's right.
Got to flip the switch. Awesome.
Well, awesome to talk to you today, Rob. Sounds like there's a lot going on in your office. If people want to get in touch with you or whatever, is it best just to go through that assessment process, or how can they reach out to you and learn more about your products?
Yeah, so our website would be a great place, concordiatechnology.org. That's if you just kind of want a cursory look at everything that we're doing, we have a resource center of over like 400 blogs that focus on just helping churches with either communications or, office workflows or what have you. The assessment, I think, is the right path for churches that know they need help, but they don't really know how to crystallize what they specifically need help with. Our team would be able to take it from there. And then if you have any general questions, you can always email me at rob.davidson@cph.org. So my name is rob.davidson at cph.org. And I'm happy to either answer the question myself or connect you to someone that's a little bit more knowledgeable than me.
Rob, really appreciate your time, and we value the partnership that we have with CTS, and we look forward to some of the new things coming. And I think we are all about the same thing, being as efficient as possible and producing good quality stuff, whatever the environment in our churches and schools. So thanks for being a part of that and for sharing a little bit with us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you both for having me today. It's been a pleasure.
Our thanks to Rob from CTS and enlightening. It's always great to hear that they're putting some energy and some thinking behind the product, as a lot of our churches use that. And it's kind of the heart of volunteer activities and keeping track of all the people that God has put under the care of our congregations.
Definitely wonderful group to work with. And for many years, like you said at the beginning of the show, I can remember you and I trekking down to St. Louis, I don't know, probably 20 years ago now, a long time ago, to learn about Shepherd Staff at the time and see their facilities there, and just a wonderful group of people to work with.
It
And
is.
now we've got this little bit of lagniappe that got added in with the Service Builder enhancement to include additional versions. So that was kind of unexpected and nice to hear.
And they've got this assessment that's available. So they really are interested in helping our congregations figure out how technology fits, in their church offices. So take advantage of that. We'll have a link obviously in the show notes. And again, thanks to Rob for spending some time with us.
Yeah, and I'll just throw in one more link, and that's to their Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, it's really nice to see their blog post, which kind of cover all kinds of tech and ministry topics.
They do a
And
nice
then
job.
if you have the opportunity to connect with them, they often have webinars and things, and they announce those on Facebook and via email as well. So
Exactly. Yep. They're
all on there as well.
interested in moving our congregations, all congregations forward with good stuff. So very good. All right, Sally, let's move on to our picks of the week.
And I am going to share my screen. Those watching would be able to see the websites associated with what I'm talking about. My picks are all associated with a good old summertime topic of professional development, especially for the teachers in our audience, but really for anyone. Summer is just a great time to crack open a book, stretch your legs a little bit from your normal day-to-day activities and do some professional development, add some new tools to your tool belt or whatever it may be. And the first one I want to talk about is a conference that MLC has hosted for several years. Actually, I think this may have come out of COVID in the year that we were all so locked down. They developed this Open Learning at MLC conference. And so now for probably the fourth year, they're hosting it again. The dates are June 18th and 19th, and basically covering a lot of different topics. They usually have particular focus each summer. And this summer, they're going to be talking about what makes our schools Lutheran and how we can meet the needs of families, and then also kind of shifting gears to students and meeting the needs of students with targeted support and inclusive classrooms and that kind of thing. So they have a variety of speakers scheduled on those 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, the 18th and 19th. And you just tune in and listen. And sometimes they share resources and things, and you'll get those after the sessions. So it's completely free to attend. So we will have a link in the show notes, and you can register online and get the information sent to you, put it on your calendar and schedule some time. And maybe, you know, all six of the presentations don't appeal to you specifically, but farm them out across your faculty, or, you know, just attend the ones that are of particular interest to you. But definitely check it out. Can't beat the price.
Excellent.
Next up, I wanted to point at my friend, and I just, Matt Miller from Ditch That Textbook. I just lost his name right as I said that. And he always prepares some cool professional development summer things. This year, it's in the form of a bingo board. And he's put together, I guess, 25 different options for you to explore and perhaps come up with your digital bingo on his bingo board. It's put together in a Google Slides format, and you can make a copy of it and has all the links embedded and things like that. So you're just learning about different tools that are out there. They might be Google tools, Microsoft tools, artificial intelligence. It's just kind of all over the place. And then you can customize it, and perhaps you want to do it with your faculty or whatever, and try to do a blackout between everyone and your faculty or something like that. So you just go to the link that he provides, and then you can make a copy and customize however you want. In the blog post, which I'll link to, he actually has past summer's bingo boards, but then he has all 25 of the resources listed where you can read a little more about them and, you know, kind of determine which one you're interested in. One of them that I wanted to specifically point out is called a Wakelet Community Week. And that is actually happening this week, Martin. I actually just signed up, and they are already underway today. But basically, they have different speakers, 60 different sessions, and all kinds of things that you can learn through this Wakelet Community Week. And believe it or not, Matt Miller is one of those speakers. So they have panel discussions, just a lot of different interesting topics to explore during Wakelet Community Week. So check it out. They have live events, they have parties, all kinds of fun, and definitely something that you can learn some new things from, even if you just sit in on one session, completely free to do, and a wide variety of things that you can learn about. So again, professional development, top of the list. And you know what, Martin? I've decided I'm going to take my own advice, and I'm going to participate in professional development from Matt's perspective this summer and try to get a bingo. And if I can do that, that'll just, you know, help me and my responsibilities and my work. And hopefully it'll be things I can pass along to the Wells Tech community as well. So
nice.
You heard it here. I'm challenging myself. We'll see how well I do, but hopefully each time we talk this summer, I'll be able to bring you a new tool that I've learned about.
Awesome.
So that's my goal.
Good, good. Just looking at the bingo board is a nice segue into my pick of the week, because you could imagine that a number of his squares are AI related. And there is probably good reason for that. AI, something we spent a lot of time with over this past school year as we read through a book on AI in the classroom, talked about it with Jason and Rachel. And my pick of the week is an AI app called Perplexity. A lot of you have heard probably about ChatGPT. Perplexity is similar, but different in the sense that ChatGPT works again is a chat-based model like Perplexity is, but ChatGPT works against what's called a large language model that is kind of set in stone. So it's collected by OpenAI and fed into, you know, the machine, so to speak, but it has an expiration. So I think the current ChatGPT model, which is 4.0, only goes back to, or does not know about anything after October of 2023. So whenever you're asking a question of ChatGPT, it's not pulling current content. Perplexity does, which is kind of nice. So it can actually replace Google in that respect. So as you're doing searches and you want current information from current websites and content that is now current on the web, Perplexity is a way to do that. And it works in a similar fashion. It is a bot. You can feed it content. You can ask it questions. You can ask it follow-up questions. There's a web app. There is a Android and iOS app. So it's got all the things that ChatGPT does. But I like it because it does have that mix of the language model. So it'll work against the ChatGPT model, its own model, or other models. And then it also continues to browse the web and gain content from the web itself. There's a free version, and then there is a paid-for version. And a lot of these AI bots have that same model where there's a free model, but then if you pay, and in this case for Perplexity, it's $20 a month, you gain access to advanced features. And some of the advanced features with Perplexity are it will search more advanced models like ChatGPT. And Sally, I don't know if you knew this, but there is a Llama model that is a large language model, Claude, which Jason Schmidt is a big fan of. So it allows you to kind of pick which model you want to search against if you pay the premium price for Perplexity. It also has what they call collections. So you can build different collections of information or searches. And it also has something called pages where you can actually build web pages that are AI built. So if you have certain topics that you want to share and you want to do some research and pull those into a page that somebody could visit and then also interact with, Perplexity also has that too. So very cool tool. I'll put a link in the show notes. It has also a couple of different articles about how it stacks up against ChatGPT and other AI chatbots, because it is a little bit different in some very meaningful ways. So perplexity.ai is the website, and I'm really enjoying the results I'm getting using that tool. So that's my pick of the week.
It's interesting, Martin, because I mean, I just have so much to learn about AI, but certainly I think everyone's heard of ChatGPT, mm-hmm. which sounded like something foreign to us. And now we say it like we know what it is.
Right.
and, you know, I've seen Copilot integrated with the Edge browser and things like that, you know, but it's odd that you have to really kind of pick one or mm-hmm. you have the option to pick one and you find the differences and things. There's just so much to comprehend about the whole technology. So
yeah, it's kind of gotten to the point where there are choices, and just like any other technology, you know, whether it's your reminders app or your notes app or your word processor or whatever, you're asking some of those same questions. You know, does it meet my particular needs? And I've got mm-hmm. some community feedback here in a minute that'll talk to, you know, maybe needs specific to teachers versus, you know, office workers, those kinds of things too, that might suggest one over another.
That's great. Well, I'm glad we have you to dive right in there and figure out.
No, I'm no expert. I'm learning like everybody else, but it's kind of fun to see what they can do and mm-hmm. see some light bulb moments in people that you kind of share these things with that has made their lives a little bit better. So,
yep, that's true.
So let's move on to community feedback. Yep.
Jinx. We had an email from our friend Gail Potratz. Gail is a longtime listener of the show, used to be one of our education technology gurus and retired from that role to move on to bigger and better things, I'm sure. But we were so happy when Gail was part of the show, and now she's listening and sending us her insights as well. In particular, she listened to our show, not the previous one, but the one right before that, where we wrapped up that book discussion on AI in the classroom. And she wrote us specifically about AI. And there were some different thoughts she had, different strands of thoughts. She really likes the concept of productivity. And I have to chime in. I used it this morning to draft something that I was trying to write, and it does really help, she says. But it makes her feel a little bit guilty, or as if she should feel guilty. She writes and sends out a weekly Sunday night devotion for anyone who gives them their emails. And lately, she's been using ChatGPT to write and giving it the prompt. And she thought it would get whatever was spit out and it would be an inspiration to her or whatever. But she was actually amazed. That's Gail's word. She was amazed at how much better the AI could write a devotional than she could. She said, "I didn't tweak the last one much at all. Like I said, I feel guilty using it this way. A huge time saver, but what is taught here? When you use GPT, I feel we should cite it as a source. Is that where it's headed?" Any thoughts on that, Martin?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the whole ethics side of using artificial intelligence is a great conversation to have. And, you know, I think, you know, mileage may vary from depending on, you know, what you're asking it to do and what you come up with. I think the general encouragement would be, cite sources. And one of the kind of important parts of any tool that you use is something that does provide the sources, so that it's not kind of a black box experience and you're wondering, did it make this stuff up, or where is it getting the information from? And that's as helpful as anything else too, is just to be able to click through and say, oh, this is where you got that. It's a reliable source, or, you know, those things I think all play into it too.
And my guess is Perplexity cites sources for you.
It does, yeah.
How about that?
And it actually searches more sources than a lot of the other ones too. So it's tries to be as well-rounded as possible.
All right. So next up in Gail's email was some more extension of the discussion we had again on that last show we recorded with Jason and Rachel. Towards the end of the book, it got into some of the emotional impacts, students, children using chat AI resources as their best friend instead of actually connecting with real people and things like that. And she said kids already don't know how to have real friends they can share words spoken face to face with, and we can't let AI produce more isolation than already exists. And so she honestly wonders how many parents are in the dark about this, and is it our chance to get it right regarding AI possibilities that are non-educational? You know, what's the role of the school and the teachers and the church body in supporting and educating people about the possibilities with AI or the dangers with AI, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, she references kind of our chance to educate our kids on social media, and she kind of says, well, we blew it in that case. Here's another opportunity to get it right, though, you know, as we're dealing with technology again, that has potential, you know, blessing but also harm, and figuring that out and being very proactive in trying to figure out where this fits. So she makes a great point.
And then this was interesting to me as well. She says she follows Ken Ham and Martin Isles from Answers in Genesis, and they are spending money to develop their own AI platform. They have a lot of concern around the use of databases created by secular society. You know, should we be concerned about what's feeding us these answers and what went into feeding us these answers? A lot of times you can get some great biblical responses from ChatGPT. I remember, you know, asking it questions and it coming back with solid Lutheran type answers and kind of almost surprising and stuff. However, I just saw a reference the other day that somebody said, write a fake Bible verse that says, expresses Jesus' opinion on, you know, XYZ. And so you could certainly use it for bad purposes as well, I guess.
No, we really appreciate Gail thinking deeply on this and then taking the time to write a rather lengthy email about her thoughts too. So that should be an encouragement to all of our listeners to engage. We would love to hear your thoughts, and it might lead to other conversations that are certainly valuable. So take advantage of
that. Maybe
it's
your summer professional development just to learn
there
more.
There you go. There you go. I threw a couple in here in community feedback, Sally, that I came across in some of my AI research lately. One of them was a Forbes article? Yeah, Forbes article, 6 AI tools recommended by teachers that aren't ChatGPT. And this is a nice article that covers a couple tools that I hadn't heard of. I shared this with my wife, who's a teacher, and she's tried a few of these and was just kind of blown away with a couple of them. One of them is called Diffit, which I hadn't heard of, but it is really a nice tool in the hands of a teacher who's trying to put together lessons and generates slide presentations and outlines and can align to state standards, those kinds of things. So it's a very customizable tool, very appropriate to grade levels and to standards that are out there, and very customizable too. So take a look at this article. There's probably some things in here that you haven't heard of that that might make a difference if you are a teacher. So don't think that ChatGPT is the be-all, end-all. There are things that are very specific. I see right there that there's one recommended by Matt Miller, we were just talking about. So take a look at this article if you are trying to fill out your bingo card. I noticed that on that bingo card you were sharing before, Diffit was one of them, actually, to get smarter, become a Diffit certified educator. So
I'm putting a star next to it. Might be on my list for summer.
Yeah. And then back to your comments, Allie, about trying to catch up, you know, with all this AI stuff, and I'm totally with you. Found a nice YouTube video called Generative AI in a Nutshell, How to Survive and Thrive in the Age of AI, which kind of breaks it down. Henrik Kinnenberg, he's got too many consonants to close together. But he talks through this in kind of a fun way about what generative AI is, kind of starting from the beginning, what it is and what it isn't, what it can be good for and what it's not as good at, and maybe where things are headed to. So generative AI is really what ChatGPT does. You ask it to produce something for you. And this is just kind of a great tutorial. It's only about 15 minutes long, but I think it's a good 15 minutes spent. So I'll put that link in the show notes as well.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks for doing all that research, Martin.
My pleasure. Sally, we're going to do this again in a couple weeks, and we're going to continue our summer tech talks, and we're going to go into the world mission fields and see what technology is like outside of the confines of the U.S. and what it's like in China and elsewhere. So tune in a couple weeks where we talk with Jeremy Seeger about his work in supporting technology needs of missionaries. So we'll come back to y'all with some more goodness there with our summer series.
Awesome.
Sally, thanks so much for your time and blessings on your summer. And we are certainly happy that everybody joined us for this show. We know that you have choices about your listening time. We're glad you spent some time with us and hope you will return in a couple weeks where we join again to talk about ministry and technology. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.